And we did say last week that we are going to be doing a three-part teaching on spiritual growth, growing. And we started last week with what we titled Desire to Grow. Desire to Grow. The first scripture which we will look at is in the book of Psalms. And if you have your note from last week, the book of Psalms, where it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So you're allowed to look at your notes. It's taken from the book of Psalms. So my first quiz today as a teacher, I'm taking the role of a teacher, is where is that written in the book of Psalms? I know what somebody's thinking. He doesn't know where it is, so he's trying to ask us. All right, it's in Psalm 34, verse 8, in case you didn't know. Psalm 34 and verse 8, the Bible declares, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Hold that in your heart. And then let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, we will see where it is written. In verse, let's look at verse, okay, you know what? Let's read from verse 1 so that we get the proper context. We will conclude this next week, and I'm giving us a title ahead of time. Next week is going to be titled, If Jesus Doesn't Come Back, Grow Up. Please tell somebody beside you, grow up. And please tell them I'm not being rude. It's just a counsel. Grow up. I can see a wife telling her husband, grow up. That's deep. I tell you. Grow up. You know, that's one of the things my wife tells me. Just grow up, you know. Why are you behaving like a baby? If the congregation in Love Assembly see you behaving this way, the way you behave at home, they won't believe it's the same you. And then you know what I thought to myself just recently, that, well, if I behave like a baby at home, it's because my wife calls me baby. Yeah. So you get what you call me. What you call me is what you get. Please look at someone beside you and say, are you a baby? Okay. Let's see if you're a baby now. 1 Peter chapter 2, why you should be a baby. The Bible says, wherefore laying aside, I'm reading from the, okay, let's try and read from the New King James Version. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. But I love that verse 3. It brings a condition for our growth. It says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Psalm 34 verse 8 tells us, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Please, I want to qualify something there that I learned some years ago. Tasting and testing are not the same thing. Tasting and testing are not quite the same thing. We are not told in Psalm 34, verse 8, to test God. It says taste. Taste, not test. When you want to test something, then you can more or less either take the position of the manufacturer, you created a product, and you want to test it to see if it's going to function with what you created it for. or you are an end user, and the manufacturer tells you, here's my product, can you go and test it? In that context, you don't test God, because nobody created God. And you are a creation in God's hands. You taste. Tasting is like having an encounter. When you taste something, you encounter it. You have an encounter. You have an experience of it. You know, for many years, I didn't really like eating vegetables. I didn't like all the greens that, you know, the doctors always prescribe, eat healthy, eat green, eat fiber. Because I've tasted greens before vegetables, it didn't taste well. I've tasted all the fiber foods. I didn't really like them. So I kept eating every other thing except vegetables and fiber until I started developing some complications with my health. Now, I have tasted vegetables before I didn't like them. I tasted fiber before I didn't like them. But when my health was deteriorating and I was told the reason why it was deteriorating, nobody told me that fiber tasted good or vegetables tasted good. Now they taste very good. Why? Because I know what it is doing in my body. I know what it is changing in my life, in my system. Maybe before I tested the vegetables and I didn't like them. I tested the fiber foods, I didn't like them. But now I've tasted and I've seen that it is good. Excuse me, I'm 51 years old. And I'm looking good. Oh, you thought I wanted to say something spiritual. Well, that is spiritual enough. Because the Bible says God is good and is my Father. If he's good, I am good. Amen. Amen. Okay. All right. So let's see what the Bible says we should actually desire. Last week we looked at desire. And it's interesting because I began to kind of bounce off with people, have discussions around desire. And a question came up. What if I don't desire something? Will I really go to taste it? Not likely. And how can I taste something when I don't desire that something? Let's look at it from that context. I don't have the desire, so it's not likely I will go and taste, or I want to have a taste of it. So we ended last week to see that, to kind of examine this thought. Maybe the reason why some people, or some of us, don't really have this deep desire for God is because we've not really tasted God. We've not tasted God and we have seen or experienced that God is good. So we don't really have that desire. There are some things that once you taste it once, your taste buds just adjust. You want it always. You always have a craving. You see that word desire there that we see in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, is to long for, to lust, to desire earnestly. And we looked closely. It's in a kind of a, I don't know, I'm still trying to learn my English. Maybe it's a metaphor, maybe it's a simile, maybe whatever it is. It says, as a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word, the pure milk of the word. And that led me, you know, in my kind of meditation and fellowship, that let's try and study what newborn babies are like. Let's really look at newborn babies. When a baby is born and a newborn baby comes out, what usually happens is, well, let's leave out all the crying and all that. But the newborn baby craves for food. The newborn baby craves for milk. The newborn baby begins to cry and cry and cry. And they usually tell the mother, give the baby breast milk. And once that initial craving is satisfied for the newborn baby, perhaps the baby may sleep off. The next time the baby wakes up, do you know what the baby's crying for? More food. A newborn baby survives and cries every time he doesn't have milk. Now, let's look at the reverse. A newborn baby is born, and the baby is not desiring food. A newborn baby is born, and the newborn baby is just quiet, there, just sleeping and sleeping. You know, you see some people that have baby, and the baby's just sleeping. The mother starts getting worried that the baby's not eating. In fact, mothers start getting worried when they are not even producing milk for the baby. There's always that worry. Now, if the baby, a newborn baby, is not desiring milk, excuse me, it's not rocket science, something is wrong with that baby. A newborn baby is not desiring milk, food, nutrients for survival, something is wrong. So you get all the experts and the doctors to start checking the baby. What's wrong? What's this? What's that? Test, this, tube, everything, you know. They try to do everything to make the baby to start eating. The Bible says, if you and I want to grow, the title of today's message, if you need a title, is How to Grow. We talked about desire the last time, but let's look at how. If the baby is not craving for milk, then we know something is wrong with the baby. Now, this compares our spiritual lives, our lives as children of God. If we are not really desiring the sincere, the milk, the word of God, something is wrong with us spiritually. If we are not eating, you're dying. It's as simple as that. You begin to die the moment you stop eating. You know, I was doing a little bit of research, so I'll just put, okay, Dr. Uche, you're closest to me because I wanted to get to my GP. That's my GP there at the back, Dr. Patrick. I was chasing Dr. Patrick last night, and I couldn't get him in the midnight. What sort of doctor are thou? Just joking. All right, Doc Uche, let me just put you on the spot. Now, if a newborn baby is born, and the baby does not eat at all, and is not given anything, how long can that baby survive for? Is that mic working? Okay, it's the blue one. All right, how long? I know it varies. Don't worry, I will bounce it off. We have the amount of two or three witnesses. So we have two. So you better watch what you're saying. There are two other doctors here. In fact, three. There's Dr. Kumbi, Dr. Patrick, Dr. Sheryl, Dr. Every doctor now. You know, there are doctors everywhere. Dr. Gospel, you know, Dr. Tom, who makes atomic bombs and all. No, you didn't hear that. All right, doc. Medical doctor.
I'll probably say a few days.
A few days. Mm-hmm. Approximately how many days?
Two, three days.
Okay, thank you. Please, can you pass that to Dr. Sheryl? And then Dr. Sheryl, you pass it to Dr. Patrick. Okay? What would you say? How long do you think a baby doesn't eat? How many days can the baby survive for if it doesn't eat at all? Newborn baby.
Yeah, I think I agree with Uche.
Are you scared of him?
No, I'm not.
You agree because you don't...
No, because the newborn baby doesn't have enough reserve. So.
Okay.
So if a newborn baby doesn't feed or doesn't eat, so within 2 or 3 days, maximum, I would say like 2 hours, which is 3 days. So.
3 days. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you. Can you pass the mic to Dr. Patrick? Let's see if he agrees with you. If he doesn't agree, we'll have to check somebody's license to practice. Wipe you off the medical register. All right. Yes, sir. No. Please. Don't switch off the mic. He doesn't want to be quoted. Excuse me, camera, can you show that man so that all the patients in the hospital will see? All right, go on. No, don't show him. Hey. No, just show me. I can take all the bullets, okay? Is it on? Okay, so Dr. Patrick, just imagine you didn't hear the two of them. How long do you think a newborn baby doesn't eat can last for?
I think I would also agree with them.
Oh, come on. Yeah. There's a conspiracy here. All right. Okay, let's agree with you. You agree with them that?
That the maximum, you know, though it varies.
Yeah. But,
you know, occasionally, you know, they might stay beyond 3 days, but I wouldn't expect that they will last longer than 3 days.
Okay. Doesn't eat, no milk, nothing. It's just there. 2-3 days. All right. Let's have that at the back of our minds. As newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. A newborn baby, practically, from what we've heard from the experts in the house, I hope, right, will not last. Okay, let's even say extreme case. Maybe you didn't feed the baby, you started laying hands on the baby, on day 3 was dying, you say, Jesus, you had the resurrection and the life, baby, come out. Spirit of death, I cast you out of this baby. And the baby miraculously keeps breathing. Let's say maximum 7 days, the baby will still die. But practically speaking, after 3 days, as newborn babies, and you and I think we will continue to live or grow spiritually if we don't hear the word of God for 2 days, 3 days, and we wait for every Sunday to come and hear somebody tell you some story from the Bible, and you think you will be healthy spiritually, we will literally die and we will not grow. I want us to see the severity of why we may actually not be growing spiritually. What did Jesus say? The devil came to tempt him. And Jesus literally quoted the book of Deuteronomy, the law of God, saying that mankind shall not live by food alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And when he was teaching us to pray, say, after this manner pray, one of the things he said we should ask for daily, give us this day our daily bread. That bread is not just physical bread, provision, material things. It's the word of God. We need every day, like a newborn baby, to grow. So if you're wondering, oh, I've been a Christian for 20 years. It's not about the chronological age of when you became a Christian. It's about what you do day by day that makes you grow as a Christian. The only testimony you have is a testimony of how you got saved. You've had no real encounter with God. You should have an encounter with God daily. Every single day. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. You see, the reason why we struggle with our spiritual lives, the reason why we struggle and we're like a yo-yo, hot today, cold tomorrow. Some of us have died many times. We die many times every week. And then they just bring one fresh bread to us every Sunday. You eat that and then you go out again, you die. On Sunday, you come back to be resurrected. Excuse me, even Jesus didn't do that. It's the third day he was resurrected. See how we endanger ourselves. Okay, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. I want us to see something there. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. And then we'll look at some practical things on how to grow. And next week, we're going to challenge ourselves to grow up. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. He says, but... Okay, let's read it in context. I love verse 12. Verse 12 is a warning. Okay? It says, take heed in case that grammar is too big for you. Oh, that's King James. Why are you giving us the comforted version? Okay? All right, look at that word. Beware, brethren, lest any one of you, lest there be in any of you, look at this, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Please hold it there before we go to verse 13. It says, beware, because there can actually be inside you an evil heart of unbelief. Unbelief is an evil heart. If we move away from believing to unbelief, we've moved into the realm of evil. When you and I stop believing God, we will believe something. When you and I stop believing God, we have opened the door for evil. Literally, you can be oppressed, you can be suppressed, you can be attacked. Anything can happen and everything can go wrong. Now, he gives us the antidote in verse 13. How do we help ourselves so that this evil heart of unbelief will not be there and grow? And we depart. Verse 13 says, but exhort one another weekly, daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. If you're wondering why you're struggling spiritually, if you're wondering why things seems to be hot today, cold tomorrow, please check your heart, check your diet. Are you eating? Are you living by the word of God daily? Daily. As simple as this sounds, this is the answer to a question that most of us, or some of us, might be asking. Why are things always going worse for me? Please check your daily diet. Why was my health deteriorating? What I was eating daily. Every junk except what will do me good. Please, let's check our hearts. Let's check our lives. This is how to grow. If you are not daily hearing, listening, and doing the word of God, you will not grow spiritually. A newborn baby, in fact, it depends. I think, I don't know if it's gender specific, but I heard, now doctors, now help me again, that naturally boys eat more than, no, the doctors shouldn't help, the mothers should. All the doctors are males. Okay, let's move to Dr. Kumbi here. Is it true that boys usually eat more than, you got two boys? It doesn't follow. Eh? No experience of the opposite side. You can give her the experience now. That's your husband said you don't have experience of the female gender. So next year we'll dedicate, we'll dedicate Josephine. Eh? Why are you saying amen? What's that got to do with you? Was I talking to you? So you don't know. Okay. Well, I heard. Well, what I'm just trying to say is that babies eat. Some eat more than others. In fact, I remembered my two boys never wanted to stop breastfeeding. I hope they're not here. Because at times, you know, you use your family to preach and you forget you are going home. And then when you get to my hair, nobody's here now. Daddy, why did you? Why? I don't like it. You're embarrassing me. What's all that? Anyway, you can bleep that part. But I remembered they did not want to stop breastfeeding. If I had to start begging my wife, please. They were still, up until they were almost 1 year old, they were still breastfeeding. Oh, that's not even, okay. You can judge my boys now. But what I'm just saying, every day, it's as if per second. In fact, I won't mention which one, but that's the only way he will sleep. When he sleeps, you've got to be feeding him to sleep. And if you just try to move him a little bit when he's... As newborn babes. The two of them now are 6-footers. I know where that came from. They ate. And they are still eating. But look at it. A baby cannot survive without food. And even let's even move away from babies. How long can a human being survive without food? No food, no water, nothing. How long? I think I was taught this in biology. But it varies also, right? But what's the maximum? What do you think is the maximum? Can we use you as an experiment? Just lock you up. 40 days. 41 days. How did you know? Have you tried it before? Jesus. But you're not Jesus. You stopped at 40. Water. No, without water, nothing. No food, no water. How long can a human being survive? The idea, you will agree with me, that the person is accelerating their death. It's suicidal. We commit spiritual suicide. We're not growing because we're not eaten. And we're not eaten because we're not desiring. We're not desiring because we have not tasted that the Lord is good. And God began to speak to me that can we go back to the newborn baby? And let's use the newborn baby as an experiment, as our case study. If a newborn baby is not desiring milk, mind you, has never tasted the milk before. When the baby was in the womb of the mom, it was surviving based on what the mom was eating, right? Drinking, and through the umbilical cord was, you know, being passed on to the baby. So they tell mothers when they're pregnant, watch what you eat, because what you eat is going to affect your baby. Watch what you smoke, what you inhale and exhale, because when you do it, the baby too is smoking. I once saw, a documentary of a baby that was smoking. And they said this baby was addicted to cigarettes. You need to see the expertise of this baby. Baby, still in Pampers. Where did he get the craving from? Now, let's focus on the baby. So you will agree if the newborn baby is not desiring, it's not taken, it's not eaten, there's a problem with the baby. Listen, this is what I heard. You know, we usually assume that a baby's fresh. A baby does not have a past. This is what the Spirit of God told me this morning. A baby has a history. A baby has a past. The past of the baby is while the baby was conceived, from conception to birth, was growing in the mother. So everything that was determining the growth of the newborn baby was what was being passed to the baby in the womb from where he grew from. And God was saying to me, that's the way we are. If you see a human being who's not desiring God, check the womb where he came from. Now I'm talking of even physically, naturally, because a mother can pass, I'm treading on dangerous grounds now, so doctors just tell me, no. A mother can pass diabetes to a baby. True or false? Dr. Kumbi is saying no. Okay, let me try harder. A mother, a baby can inherit some malfunctions. Okay, that's safe now. While growing in the womb of the mother as a result of whatever genetic makeup, physical, material, whatever the mother is eating, is smoking, whatever, the baby can be affected. So when the newborn baby is birthed, the baby can be born with complications. and the baby does not desire milk. We're like that baby. We were born into sin. We were formed in the womb of sin when we came into this world. That's why Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new." But, brethren, let's look at it practically. If my baby, newborn baby, is not eaten, we will agree something is wrong. By the time we start checking, blood tests, scan, whatever, do x-ray, put the child through photocopy machine, fax the baby, then you start detecting some things, and then, genetics, and they call the mother. Did you take antibiotics? Were you on antibiotics when you were pregnant? It's affected the growth of the baby. What did you take? Were you smoking? Why are you doing this? The baby, even the newborn baby that is not desiring, we have to check. You see, it's like a kind of a spiritual check we need to do on ourselves. Why am I not desiring to grow? Why am I not desiring the sincere milk of the Word of God? Something must be wrong somewhere. Because if something is wrong, I would not desire. I mean, literally, somebody challenged me, said, "What if I don't desire God? Is that not possible?" I said, "It's possible. Because we were born into sin. That means something is wrong. Everybody was created in the image, in the likeness of God. But because of the womb of this evil, wicked world that we are born into, it affects how we live. Now, in a spiritual sense, if it happens, we're not desiring. We don't want to have anything to do with God. I think that's the first place to check. Check the baby. That baby is you. That baby is me. What are all the things that can hinder me desiring to grow? What are all the things that even now, I'm a newborn baby, I've tasted milk, but next day I don't want to eat again. Something is wrong. Second day I don't want to eat again. Something is wrong. What are the things that could affect me growing? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. You see, the Bible is so simple, and God is so simple. God is not complicated. It is complicated people that complicate him. That's a quote from What Spired Thoughts. Sorry, it's out of circulation. Now, let's try and x-ray that baby now. Let's take the baby through CT scan. What other thing do you do? I know you don't take it through photocopy machine, but CT scan, x-ray. Please give me one more. Is that all? Blood test, MRI scan. Let's check the baby, okay? So we're taking the baby, right? And who's the baby here? It's you, Samuel. No, everybody, okay? Let's take everybody, baby Samuel, baby Sarah, baby Julie, baby Comfort, all right? I almost said baby pastor. By the way, that's not my name, okay? Okay, so we took the baby through the MRI scan, x-ray. I'm wondering, why is this baby not desiring? Why is he not craving milk? And then we took the MRI scan, and then, bam! Blood test, result came back. Do you know the first thing we saw? The baby has in his system something called malice. Verse 1. Malice. For as long as you are keeping malice, you will stop desiring milk and you won't grow. Let's do another CT scan, okay? So the first one showed malice. So it, I don't know what CT scan is. Is it the one you throw and then some machine covers and then you bring you out on the other end? Okay. All right. And then what came up again? What came up again? Deceit. Deceit. And then we did another scan. The blood test came back. And we saw through the genetic makeup. Is it? Yeah, okay. I'm treading on dangerous ground, but just pardon me. Okay. And then the blood result came. What did we see inside the blood result? Hypocrisy. And then the urine sample we sent to the lab just came back. Hey, urine sample. What did we see there? Envy. You wondering why the baby's not growing? Are you wondering why the baby's not no longer desirous of anything called God? Anything called the Word of God. Baby doesn't want to fellowship. Baby doesn't want to pray. Baby does not want to do Bible study. What Bible study? What are you telling me? I mean, I've had someone challenge me. Not one, not two. Look. It's high time we put this Bible aside and slap each other. Let's deal with each other. Don't give me Bible. When you hear people talking like that, please just take them through the spiritual x-ray. They're keeping malice. They're living in deception. Do you know there are two beings, categories of beings? We looked at in our Bible study group this morning, in our discipleship group. There are two categories of beings you can't deceive, that you can deceive. Or let me put it this way. You can't deceive, but you can also deceive. Okay? Number one, you can deceive people. And you can succeed to deceive yourself too. But if you are sincere, you can't deceive God. And honestly, you can't deceive yourself. You know. Come on. You know. You only speak Queen's English. But man, you were born in some village where they speak. They speak village English, if there's anything like that. But you can deceive us with your Queen's accent. But you know, you can't deceive yourself. Live in all the denial. The Bible says, when we hear the word, Julie, and we don't do what we hear, when we're hearers only, but not doers, we are what? Deceiving our own selves. You wonder why the baby's not growing. The baby's hearing the word. Baby's not doing. Because the baby is probably holding malice, living in deception, hypocrisy, envying people, envying everything. You never see anything wrong with yourself, but you always see what's wrong with people. I came up with a definition one time of what it means to be a spectator. I've shared it before. You know, Jesus said, why do you always look for speck in people's eyes? And you don't remove the log in yours. Why? But why? First of all, if you want to remove specks in people's eyes, please remove the log first in your own. Some people will never see the log in their eyes. Never. But they will always see specks. So when they come, they sit down and they start spectating. That's a spectator. Did you see what happened there? Did you see what David Patrick wore to church today? That's the same shoe he wore last week. I don't know what's wrong with him, and he's a doctor. If a doctor is wearing that kind of shoe, I wonder what he's teaching his patients to be wearing. Excuse me, what's your business? Have you checked your own shoe? Can we speak the truth to ourselves? The other day I just came, see their child. They are not even looking after their children. And they call themselves Christian. I've been noticing. And then you come, Pastor, I'm saying this so that we can pray, honestly. It's to pray. Have you prayed for yourself? Do we understand what love is? Two things. Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength, with all your soul. And then love your neighbor. You didn't stop there as yourself. Believe me, if you're always gossiping about people, it's a sign you don't love yourself. If you can't forgive people, it's a sign you don't love yourself. Because Jesus said, if you don't forgive people who trespass against you, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. If you love yourself, you won't allow evil to be tormenting you. Do you know the easiest way that Jesus explained in Matthew chapter 18, my time is up, to open up our lives to evil spirits? Unforgiveness. Forget it. You can go to any deliverance, prayer, let them give you fasting, let them tell you to sow seed, sow everything so that you have breakthrough. You don't understand breakthrough. You don't understand. The first breaking is you. You can bribe God. Okay, anybody wants to be a millionaire, come and sow 1,000 after this service. Ushers come, 1,000, 1,000, 1,000. You see people will come out. 24-hour miracle, £1,000, come out. You come. Because you don't want to forgive you, but you want the fastest route. And then when they see that there are not too many people with 1,000, yeah, the Spirit of God is reduced to 500, 500, 500, 500. Have you been to the auction shop before? They've started auctioning the gospel. The truth is now for auction. It's for the ISP there. Excuse me. God forbid. I tell people, you and your money, you perish. You think you can buy the gift of God with money? Let's tell ourselves truth. You lay it aside. Matthew 18. Unforgiveness. Do you know what Jesus said? Just like the story of the man who forgave his servant, and the servant left, and he went to grab another servant, and threw the servant in prison. The Lord remembered what he did. I forgive you. You can't forgive your servant. Okay, come. Now listen, please. Go to the end so that you will see what we mean by you've opened up yourself to evil spirits. You're wondering why you can't sleep at night. You're wondering why you're having nightmares. You're wondering why somebody with a masquerade is always chasing you. And when the masquerade chases you and chases you and chases you and chases you, and then all of a sudden you're at the corner, the masquerade just removes their head, and the head of the person you see is the person that you didn't forgive. It's not that person, brother. It's not that person, sister. It's your mental health. But mental health is the scientific way of explaining demons. You know, doctors don't believe in the Bible. But the science they are using is helping us to confirm truly the Bible. It's just another name. It's another name. It's like calling a spade an agricultural implement. It's just another name. Calling sin just character deficiency. It's another name. Sin is sin. The Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. Okay. So his master was angry and delivered him. This is a dangerous thing. To the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. The torturers. Those are demons, evil spirits. Those are all those things. Just tormenting, 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 tormenting. We can't forgive. We keep malice. We envy. We won't grow. How do we grow? Verse 1, 1 Peter chapter 2. Lay aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, all evil speaking. Do you know what an evil speaking literally is? I've had people say this before. Okay, somebody behaved badly to you. That guy is an animal. That's the sound of a baby. You are calling someone created in the image and likeness of God because they hurt you, an animal? That's evil speaking. As evil as that sounds, that's how evil it is. Why are we Christians? Do you know why we are Christians? Because we were forgiven and expected to forgive. Where did I stop? Deceit? Lay it aside. Hypocrisy? Lay it aside. Evil? Envy? All evil speaking. When we separate that baby from the mother's womb, we must cut off the umbilical cord. If that baby is going to survive and grow on this earth. So these are the umbilical cords, that evil womb. We should cut ourselves off from so that we can start desiring, because it's going to affect our hunger and thirst, and start desiring to grow. Please, let's bow our heads here today. It's a call to repentance. It's a call to repentance. I know we like breakthrough messages, we like, you know, how we can become rich, acquire properties. It's good. But can I ask, what will it profit you if you acquire a property, but you can't live in it in peace? You have a house, very big house, but you can't sleep at night. Just because you are not growing spiritually. Just because you've opened the door to torment us. This is just an x-ray. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to myself. I need help. And Jesus said, ask. Ask so that your joy will be full. If you're unhappy, if you're not sleeping well, if you're worried, whatever has gone wrong, let's go back to that womb and acknowledge something has gone wrong. Let's desire to grow. Lord, help me today. It's just a sober reflection. I'll just give us a minute to just reflect. And don't just reflect, please. Make up your mind. I'm going to put this aside. With the help of God, of course. Don't live in deception. There are two ways you can either react or respond to the message you've heard today. You can get angry and say, this message is talking about me. Or you can respond, this is talking about me, and I must save my own life. I am tired of where I am. Make up your mind daily to desire the word of God, daily to grow, daily to stop being a spectator